This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
My dear respected brothers and sisters in Islam, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. It's always a pleasure to be next to Sheikh Uthman ibn Farooq Hafidhahullah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless his da'wah, ya Rabbil Alameen. It's very pleasing to see a brother who uses the Quran and Sunnah to call non-Muslims to Islam. وَأُوحِيَ إِلَيَّ هَذَا الْقُرْآنُ لِأُنذِرَكُمْ بِهِ وَمَنْ بَلَغْ. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam himself said, the Quran was revealed to me to employ it, to warn you. We do not need to go elsewhere to find substance to invite others to Islam. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam never resorted to Greek philosophy or ilm al-kalam, the speculative speech, in order to invite others to Islam. Yeah, we use logic, but the logic that is contained in the Quran. The Quran has a lot of logic, so we utilize that and we stick to that. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam confined us, قُلْ هَذِهِ سَبِيلِي أَدْعُو إِلَى اللَّهِ عَلَى بَصِيرَةٍ أَنَا وَمَنِ اتَّبَعَنِي. Please keep Sheikh Uthman ibn Farooq in your dua, ya Rabbil Alameen. May Allah preserve him, preserve his family, and give him a long life with Iman, with Taqwa, so that he can carry on conveying the message, inshaAllah. I think I have like 25-30 minutes to... share with you a message that I shared with the brothers في خطبة الجمعة today, and because of its significance I would like to share it with you as well. And it is coming from the Quran. Everything we say is coming from the Quran. Let me begin by making that statement, which is actually derived from the Quran, that as long as there is haqq and batil, if you're not familiar with the word batil, falsehood, on earth, there will continue to be a conflict between them. The followers of Haqq and the followers of falsehood, they will always collide because both agendas are not compatible. And normally the conflict is about dominance. Who dominates the world or the society? Who makes the call? What to hear, what to listen to, what to watch, what your kids study in school, all of that. So that's the conflict that is ongoing and it will keep going until the Day of Judgment. So let me restate this again. As long as we have Tawheed and shirk, sunnah and bid'ah, hawa and guidance, objective morality and subjective morality, if you know the difference between the two, objective morality, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who dictates what's moral and what's immoral. Subjective morality is left to the MPs and election to decide what is moral and what is immoral, there will always be a conflict. There are two verses in the Quran which validate this principle. The first in Surah Al-Baqarah and the second in Surah Al-Hajj. قول الله تعالى في سورة البقرة ولولا دفع الله الناس بعضهم ببعض لفسدت الأرض. Has it been for that conflict between the good and the bad, the beauty and the beast, earth will reach to a state of corruption. So actually this verse is informing us that this conflict preserves earth from corruption. Now, let me move one step farther. Pay attention here. It has been always in the forefront, the battle or the ground of the conflict is the next generation. So both groups are after the next generation, the children. So they want the children. And the people of Haqq, they want the children. Why? Obviously because those who are in control or their culture is the dominant one, they want to maintain this dominance. And the only way for them to do that is to make sure that it transcends to the next generation. It goes to the next generation. And those who are weak, like the Muslims now, really our hope is in Abdullah and the likeness of Abdullah. Because obviously our generation is unable to make a change. So we can only focus on preparing, hopefully, the next generation who can change the landscape and turn the dominance to the people of Haqq, the people of Islam, the people of Tawheed. And as a matter of fact, if you carefully look into the Quran and Sunnah, that you find that this is a satanic plan, is to mess up the next generation. I'm referring to hadith Jabir ibn Abdullah radiyallahu anhuma, wal hadith akhrajahu al-imam Muslim. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam said, inna ash-shaytana yada'u arshahu على الماء وذلك في كل يوم. Satan, the one who doesn't die, the one who refused to bow down to Adam, the head of the Batil campaign, the falsehood campaign on earth, every single day he places his throne on water, then he will give incentive to his helpers from the jinn. And he would say to them, من أضل اليوم مسلما ألبسته التاج. Whosoever succeeds today in misguiding one of the people of Al-Haq, I will give you a prize tonight. I will crown you tonight. Surprisingly, if you read the hadith carefully, that some of his army would report achievements such as killing, such as committing adultery, such as drinking intoxicants, and this doesn't excite Mr. Satan. But what excites Mr. Satan, and this is the one who will actually receive the prize, the jinni who would stand up and say, I did not leave a husband and wife today until I separated them. Why? Why this one? Remember, the battleground is the next generation. And where the next generation is going to be brought up? He wants to disrupt that harmony which produces well, psychologically nourished children. We know that when there is a divorce, although divorce is not haram in Islam, divorce can be a solution for marriages which are not working, and people have been trying, not like the Christians who say no divorce. But when there is a divorce in the family, the party that pays the price is the children, quite frankly. That's all. They pay the price. It's a satanic approach that they go after the next generation in order to maintain their dominance. As a matter of fact, if we read the Quran carefully, we'll find out that the satanic, the way of shaitan, the way of falsehood, the way of batil, sometimes they go as far as slaughtering the next generation, slaying them literally with a knife. Where do we get that from? You know the story, don't you? إِنَّ فِرْعَوْنَ عَلَى فِي الْأَرْضِ وَجَعَلَ أَهْلَهَا شِيَعًا يَسْتَضْعِفُ طَائِفَةً مِّنْهُمْ يُذَبِّحُ أَبْنَاءَهُمْ. Fir'aun literally used to slay the newborn. Why? Why did he do that? Because his kingship was threatened. If you read hadith Abdullah ibn Abbas رضي الله عنهما, والحديث أخرجه الإمام النسائي في السنن الكبرى من كلام ابن عباس في تفسير قوله تعالى في سورة طه وفتناك فتونا. That is why the hadith is called Hadith al-Futun. That the Pharaoh was informed in interpreting his dream. He saw a dream that a fire came from Jerusalem, which burned the houses of the Egyptians, but it did not burn one single house from Bani Israel. So he asked, what is this? He said, the Jews, the Muslims, who are the time, the Jews, Bani Israel, they are saying that there is a time, this is the time for a newborn, a child who will be born, and he will be the reason for the destruction of your dominion, your kingdom. That's why he killed him. I'm really sorry to say that, to equate this with this, but this is a reality. What the world is witnessing now is very similar to Fir'aun. Yeah, is not slaughtering with a knife, but you're slaughtering the fitrah, the inherent tendency of the children, when you teach them sexuality in this manner. The agenda of the Qawm Lut, LBGTWXYZ,
plus,
is being taught to children in the public school system. In America, North America, where I come from, is crazy, unbelievable. If you hear the language that is being taught to the children, you as an adult cannot even tolerate it. Your ears is profanity for you. It's profanity. Yeah, this is not literally slaughtering the children with a knife, but you're damaging their fitrah. You're damaging their purity, the state of purity upon which they were born. Now, who is responsible for the children here in this spectrum, in this paradigm? Who's responsible? Still the parents. If you think you as a parent is exempt or excluded or no longer responsible for protecting the fitrah of your children, I'm sorry, you're mistaken. Because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam clearly stated في حديث أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه والحديث أخرجه الإمام البخاري كل مولود يولد على الفطرة. Every newborn is born فطرة. I could say born straight. Isn't the فطرة straight? Being straight. Now who will sway that فطرة to take another direction that is not compatible with its straightness? The parents, whether taken away from Islam to another religion and so forth. So it is the responsibility of the parents to protect this fitrah. Not only that, but also to enhance this fitrah by connecting it with the divine revelation. You see, the fitrah is an innermost piece in the heart, like a chip inside you, which can really direct you to the truth if it is kept in its purity. But also the responsibility of the parents is to connect that fitrah with the Quran and Sunnah, with the revelation, with the teachings of Islam, so that the ignition happens. You know, the ignition happens. The nur, the light will shine. أَوَمَنْ كَانَ مَيْتًا فَأَحْيَيْنَاهُ وَجَعَلْنَا لَهُ نُورًا يَمْشِي بِهِ فِي النَّاسِ. طيب, let's move one step further here. Pay attention here. Based on the story of Musa and the Pharaoh, that parents, in order to protect their children, they may resort to doing the illogical, something that is not logical, something that is not popular. Where do I get that from? Who told you, in order to save your child from the knife of the Pharaoh, that you throw him in the river? Isn't that what the mother of Musa did? Is that normal? Is that normal? I'm asking you, is that normal? It is not normal. In order to save her child from death, she threw him in the Nile. Likewise, you may have to do something that is not popular, that is not condoned by the society, by the community, to save your children. For example, homeschooling. For example, sending them to Islamic schools. For example, take them off completely and find a way to educate them. Well, I want them to be successful businessmen. I want them to be Mr. Doctor, Mr. Engineer. Yeah, fine, but not at the expense of their akhirah. You see, your primary responsibility when it comes to your children is what? To save their akhirah, to save their deen. Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu qu anfusakum wa ahlikum nara. Him being a doctor or being an engineer, Allah will provide. Allah wrote his rizq before he came into this world. Don't worry about that part. Your job is to make sure that this boy or this girl are protected so that they can attain the akhirah. But in, how long do I still have? Like 5 minutes? 20? 12 minutes. But at the same time also, it is not wise to completely isolate the child from the environment. I mean, you can take a child off that corrupt environment and teach them virtues, good things, but at the end of the day, he's going to have to do what? He's going to sooner or later interact with this corrupt environment. So what is the solution here? And as a matter of fact, we as Muslims should become the beacons of hope for the Western civilizations, because these guys are self-destructing themselves. They are destroying themselves by themselves. Now, the only hope they have really is Islam, because Islam holds strong grounds when it comes to morality or moral standards. Why? Because moral standards in Islam are tied to the revelation. You see, when someone asked Aisha radiallahu anha about the moral standard of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, what was the answer? His character is what? Quran. So his character stemmed from the Quran. And for you to know, Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, Ali ibn Abi Talib, and their students, they explained this verse, وَإِنَّكَ لَعَلَى خُلُقٍ عَظِيمٍ. You are on the best character. You know what they said? وَإِنَّكَ لَعَلَى دِينٍ عَظِيمٍ. You're in the best religion. So they equated the character with what? With the religion. Allah tells me who to marry. Not my desire. Allah tells me how to even conduct intimacy with your wife. What should you say? Where should you go? That's Allah tells me how to go to the bathroom. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, on the tongue of the Prophet. And someone, a Jewish or a Magian, actually said to Salman, your religion teaches you even how to relieve yourself. I said, yeah. The Prophet told us to do 1, 2, 3. Fashad, or the important thing here is we are the hope for this society here. So we should not take a side and let them destroy. Because whether you like it or not, it's going to get to you. You see, the Prophet ﷺ wanted us to depict this in a very illustrative manner when he asked us to visualize a ship. Hadith of Nu'man ibn Bashir. And the ship has two levels, the upper and the lower. So the people in the lower level of the ship, they have no access, direct access to water. So for them to get water, they have to go and bother the people on the top. So the people on the top kind of showed that it's too much. You guys are just, every time you come jump in here, what is this? So, out of well intention, by the way, they well intended. They had a good intention, by the way. They said, you know what, we don't want to bother these guys. Let's just dig a hole in the ship. You see, they have good, you need to understand this, the people, they had a good intention. They didn't mean any, but they are not smart enough. They don't know that this will lead what? To the sinking of the entire, to the collapse of the entire community. Now, if the people in the upper level, which is the people of Haqq, do not stop them from doing that, what is going to happen to the whole ship? That's exactly what it is. So if you do not contribute to placing a control over this agenda, it's going to come to you. Let me close by saying, so how can you produce this Muslim child who is protected from that corrupt environment, and at the same time, he's able to engage to make a change. We actually have a story, and I wish I have, you know, the time to do it, but a beautiful hadith, I refer you to it, that actually can help us understand this. I'm referring to hadith Suhaib al-Rumi, which the famous story, the boy and the king. You heard that story, right? The boy and the king?
Yep.
No? Surat al-Buruj? Huh? The boy who turned the entire community into Muslims? You didn't hear that story? هل أتاك حديث البروج؟ والسماء ذات البروج؟ No? Okay, very quickly. حديث في صحيح الإمام مسلم. كان في من كان قبلكم ملك. In the nations before you, there was a king. Again, this is... don't try to impersonalize this. That's when the story loses its substance. This just was supposed to be implemented in any place. So there is a king, someone who has the dominance, but he's a wicked king. He would use sorcery to subdue his citizens. He used to have a sorcerer. And that sorcerer would lie, would get the people to see things that are not. That's what sorcery is. We can equate sorcery now to the media. Whatever the media wants you to believe, they just do the brainstorming thing, brainwashing thing, until you believe it. So this king has been dominating the scene for a long time, but the sorcerer became old, and he's about to die. So he went to the king and he said, listen, you know and I know that the only way for you to maintain your dominance is if I live, or what I learn, or what I teach lives after me. I'm about to die. In order to save your kingdom, bring me a young boy. Again, the same thing. I want to pass on that knowledge, that wicked knowledge, that corrupt knowledge to the next generation. So that you can maintain what? So they brought him a boy, young boy, young man. I'm going through the hadith quickly. 3 minutes will be done. But pay attention here, because this is how we can create that child, not create, produce, Allah creates, produce this child who can actually give da'wah, and at the same time he doesn't indulge into the wickedness of the community. So imagine this young boy would go to learn disbelief, shirk, sorcery every day. But subhanallah, the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that this boy in his way to receive sorcery lessons, he happens to hear the revelation. While he is walking to receive sorcery lessons, he heard someone reciting the revelation. And you know, the kids, the children, their fitrah is very good. If you really want to teach tawheed without any trouble, teach it to children. Sometimes elders, old people, have a hard time comprehending the principles of tawheed, tawheed al-rububiyya, tawheed al-uluhiyya. So what is this? But children, they grasp this because it's very close to their fitrah. They are close. The boy heard the revelation, he became attracted to it. So he went to the sheikh. Of course, it's called a monk, rahib, yani, fil hadith, but a man upon tawheed. And he said, I want to learn from you. And amazingly, that this young boy, he would get beaten up twice. You see, he would spend time with the sheikh, then he would arrive late. The sorcerer, the old sorcerer, would become very upset, and he would beat him up, and he would insist for him to stay the same duration of time for his lesson. Then he would arrive home late, his father would beat him up. Would you get beaten up twice and the following day you still go to the sheikh? He did went to the sheikh. That shows you also the sheikh was an attraction. Unfortunately, we become sometimes weird and mean as imams and sorry, Sheikh Sufyan. We become very dismissing, you know. Look, can you imagine this young boy was beaten up twice? Anyone would say, oh, man, that's not working. Why would I go back and get beaten? Let me just... No, he still went to the sheikh because the sheikh was an attraction. He liked the sheikh. The shahid, or the important thing here is what? Is actually the sheikh offered him help, fatwa, on, you know, how to evade being beaten up twice, how we avoid that, and so forth, and it worked. A shahid, or the important thing here is what? This young boy, every single day, is learning tawheed and shirk. Truth, falsehood. Lie, every day. Every day. And whether you like it or not, this is what your children are going through. You do not recognize how much they are receiving from the sorcerer side. You don't. Wallahi, my child, hold the phones like this. As if he was born with a phone in his hand. He knows stuff about this iPhone that I didn't even know. Baba, can I teach you that? And we're talking about 9 years old here. But here is the unfortunate part. That many of our children are deprived from the sheikh portion. They hardly give them the sheikh portion. Your child would spend 8 hours a day in school learning about atheism and all that stuff that Sheikh Uthman addressed. 8 hours. 8 times 5 is what? 40. Then you come and throw your child in a weekend school for 1 hour. Fix that, Sheikh Sufyan. It's not going to work. Remember, that is why, subhanAllah, I love this hadith so much so, because it's very accurate. You see, the boy was receiving equally truth and falsehood, time-wise. He was spending the same time. That's what we're asking you to do. We're not asking you to completely isolate your child from that environment, because it's impossible. Why? Because what you want your child to develop this character, which scholars of tarbiyah, they call it the critical thinking character. That you want him to decide on his own what is right and what is wrong. But you gotta give him enough of truth. You're depriving him. He's getting enough of falsehood. The falsehood is so appealing, so tempting. So this, in closing, this young boy, he himself realized that those two cannot be compatible. And he started actually questioning. And obviously, the sheikh or the rahib kind of focused on explaining the truth to him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prepared the scene for him. Based on the hadith, yani, the different wording of the hadith, Kharij Muslim, yani, they say that there is a lion that sat on a bridge. And for the members of this community to go about their work, they have to cross over that bridge to go to their farm. So a lion is sitting out there on a bridge. So they called, come on, we pay taxes, Mr. King. Take care of that. So The king called the sorcerer, come on, these guys may have a revolt here. Fix that situation. He said, oh, let me try my boy. Let me give my boy the first mission, the first job here. But the boy had a different plan. When he was asked to take care of that lion, الحديث say that by إخوة بس يعني in the wording of الترم النسائي they say أسد يعني. Subhanallah, as soon as the boy learned that he is to take care of that situation, he said, today I will find out which one Allah loves most. That's a critical thinking right here. I want to know which one Allah loves most. He grabs a pebble, small rock, and he looked up, Allah, oh Allah, Allahumma, in kana amru rahibi ahabba ilayka min amri as-sahir. I know this small rock doesn't kill a lion, but I'm seeking guidance here. I've been learning those two things. Quite frankly, they don't match. They have no harmony. They are the total opposite. Now, which one you love most? What the sheikh has been teaching me, or what the sorcerer has been teaching me? Now I'm going to throw that rock, small rock, into that lion. If you love what the sheikh has been teaching me more, kill the lion with this rock. And it happened. It happened. Now he said, today, I'm done. You see, that's what you want to do with your children at this time and age. But it takes a lot of individual commitment, a lot of communal commitment to work together to produce that. I hope you got the message, yani, inshallah. Just a nutshell. But this subject, the ikhwa, is really painful because I have never expected myself to have this brainstorming machine when it comes to sexuality and gender in the West in this manner. And they are targeting our children. That's what makes it painful.